I'm feeling a little mushy this morning myself. It might be the sweater, but I'm pretty sure it's the season that's begun. It's the first day of the month. It's our potluck Sunday. It was our new membership Sunday. It's the lighting of the first candle. It's the end of Thanksgiving and relatives are going home. I'm actually going to bug out after the service to see one of my kids back home as he leaves. It's fun how the holidays change as your children get older. Those of you that have children, they have a special sweetness and poignancy to them. It's lovely. So the Christmas story is what we're going to be talking about all this month. So right from the jump, you're asked to believe a story that's pretty preposterous. No? I mean, when you're a kid, it's just the baby Jesus story, and you listen to it, and you just take it in. And you're good on that until you're about 10, when you start finding out about how babies really happen. Maybe you're a little younger and you find out about how babies really happen, and then the Christmas story's like, how did that happen? And so I spent a time where I rejected the story altogether. And just said, you know, that couldn't have happened. It's a nice myth. It's a beautiful mythical archetypal story. Yada, yada, okay, but it didn't really happen. But I'm going to propose to you today that something happened that changed the world forever. Something happened. And we're going to start today with the angel and the girl. Mary, she was a teenager, but of marriageable age in her culture. And so she was betrothed to be married to an older man who was already settled in his profession as a carpenter. And she had been brought up as a good and faithful girl, and she served in the temple. So she loved God. She was a good girl. And so we know that the story says that the angel Gabriel came to her and said, this thing is going to happen. Her first response was not, oh, yay. Her first response was still better than the one I would have given had it been me. Her first response was, how can this be? I never say that when something unexpected happens. Never. How can this be? I'm being pulled over for a speeding ticket. How can this be? That hasn't happened, by the way, in a very long time. Oh, sorry. Okay. Don't put anything on the piano, not even my knuckles. So Mary first said, how can this be? And the angel Gabriel reaffirmed, yes, this was going to happen. And she said, very well, let it be done unto me according to the Lord. And then she had that beautiful, beautiful song. My soul doth magnify the Lord. This was a young woman who was willing to accept the impossible. Now, I could tell you that this story of Mary and the angel and this magical birth, I could tell you that it only appears in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. I could tell you that. I could tell you that the book of Luke was written, you know that the Gospels were not written like in real time, like it's a news report. You get that? They were written many years after by human beings in hearsay and stories passed down and interpretations. You understand that? So the book of Luke was written primarily for a Gentile audience, which meant everybody but the Jews. So the Greeks and Romans, that was the target for the book of Luke. That's where the nativity story appears. Now think about Greek and Roman mythology. How many times did a god come to earth and mate with a human woman to produce an extraordinary child? So to establish legitimacy for that audience, let's have a magical birth. I could tell you that the book of Matthew was written for a Jewish audience, and the Hebrew Bible is full of miraculous birth stories. As a matter of fact, if you want to hear different responses to angels talking to women about becoming pregnant, when the angel came to Sarah at the age when she was 90 and said, "You're going to bear your first child," she laughed. And then God spoke and said, "Who laughed?" And Sarah said, "That was my maid. I heard her. She laughed when the news came." And the story of Hannah, who wanted so much to conceive a child, and she said, "If I have a child, I will dedicate him in the temple to your service." And at an advanced age in her life, she gave birth to her son, Samuel. So we have Isaac, the miracle birth, Samuel, the miracle birth. Even Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, who was of an older age, became pregnant. And her husband was so doubtful that he was struck dumb, like not being able to speak. He was mute until the day of the naming of the child. So Mary had an extraordinary response. "How can this be? Let it be done unto me. My soul doth magnify the Lord." Okay, so I could tell you all of those things. Those origin stories were very helpful to me when I was a ministerial student, because I needed to know. I needed to try to understand. And so to have that bit of historical context was the beginning of my understanding. But if we look a little bit deeper into the Hebrew origins of the names of these two characters, Gabriel and Mary, and then if we begin to look at the metaphysical interpretation of who they are, the story begins to take on a little different color. So Gabriel means man of God, hero of God, and God is my strength. So in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary that we use in Unity, that is a compilation of the writings of Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, and many other Unity scholars that have come down through the last century and a half, Gabriel signifies the human in realization and demonstration of the I am power and might, unified with inner faculties and elevated consciousness and manifest oneness with God. We'll talk more about Gabriel in just a moment, but that's a pretty powerful representation. I mean, Gabriel's got a good reputation, doesn't he, all these years? So Gabriel's a very powerful angel. He appears to more than one person. He appears to more than just Mary. Now, there are a lot of meanings in Hebrew for Mary, but among them are myrrh and aromatic spirits. Okay, so some of you went, because you know how myrrh smells. It's beautiful. Aromatic spirits. I think we have just a few essential oil people here in the audience. So you're a Mary, and you're a Mary. But it also has to do with intuition. So here's another little definition for you. She represents the soul that magnifies the Lord daily in the temple and through its devotions prepares itself for the higher life. She signifies the divine motherhood of love. So the coming of the Christ body that was in this tiny baby was the result of an exalted idea sown into the mind and matured by the soul of Mary, a divine idea that came to somebody who was already devoted to God and accepted a miracle as a possibility. So you kind of have to stick with metaphysics for a minute. You kind of have to read it. You kind of have to absorb it to see where it applies to you. But if you look at the masculine, more masculine idea of wisdom as a power, that doesn't mean anything, okay? I'm just saying that it's not confined to men. Do you understand? And love is not confined to women. These are attributes that live in all of us. So this masculine idea of wisdom, Gabriel, comes into the divine in human, and it contacts the love, the feminine, the soul, the Mary. It contacts that phase of spiritual nature and causes the human to become conscious of the Christ in himself. Now, I'm going to say that a little more simply. The great hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved, I like to say soul instead of wretch, because I don't identify as a wretch, but I have been wretched. Yes? Okay. We've all been wretched at some time in our lives. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So I want you to think back to one of those wretched moments in your life. One of those moments where you're just minding your business, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and suddenly you're struck by God. Something comes to you and speaks to you and opens for you a spiritual awakening that you have maybe not had before. I know there's a lot of people in this room that were struck sober. There's a lot of people in this room that were struck healthy. There's a lot of people in this room who were struck by something they were not expecting at all, that led them to, led me to a different awakening in my spiritual life. Something new was born. Yes? That's why this story resonates with us so much. That's why it has endured all these years. Why would a tale told that has what seems to be biological impossibilities, why would this story stay with us so often and for so long? Why would we have stars and doves and mangers? And I don't know, there's probably a camel on here somewhere. You know, shepherds, wise men. All the we're going to talk about all these things this month, what they all mean. Because the way that we begin to absorb any story in Scripture is by applying each of those characters to ourselves. We're Mary. We're Gabriel. We're the Christ child. You notice when we bless babies, like this one that's been cooing here behind me, it's a delicious baby. Well, you know, they just smell so good. They smell so good, and you just want to, haven't even seen his little toes yet, but oh my gosh. You see what babies do to us? That same feeling that you have about a baby is the one that you can have in your own soul about your awakening and your growth, because you don't ever stop. You don't ever stop growing. You don't ever stop learning. You don't ever start having the miracle of discovering more of the Christ Spirit within you. Never. And if you've got wisdom and love, just those two elements operating in your life, then something new is going to come to pass, as it did for Mary. That's why we love this story. Because the Christ consciousness was awakened. Something was quickened in Mary. She was already a devoted girl. She loved God. In this magnificent expression of the power of God came to her and ignited it. And she was going to need all that inspiration, wasn't she? Because next week we're going to talk about the fiancé. Yeah. Poor Joseph. Oh my God. So we're going to talk about him too, because he's part of us. But for the Christmas story to mean something to you, to be able to watch a Hallmark movie, just go ahead, just give in to it. Watch a Hallmark movie, because they're always pretty, the people are always happy, the kids behave, and everybody eats tons of yummy Christmas treats and never gets fat, and love is found in the end, yay. But, you know, why do we, well, I can only speak for myself, to the ridicule of my children, that Hallmark movies are like a warm cup of tea. You know? We never have snow like they have in the Hallmark movies, do we? I mean, that just doesn't happen. We don't have that snow. People don't decorate their, well, some of you do, decorate every single nook in your home. I don't do that. Too tiring. And I have a cat. And so, yeah, this year we're going to have to put a fence around the Christmas tree, because my not quite 6-month-old kitty is going to think that is his personal playground. Yes, every day a new day for a kitten. Every day a new day for us. Every day a new day for us to discover what this story means to us. Why do we keep telling it over and over again? Why, in spite of our cynicism or becoming a little jaded, our skepticism, why, when we hear the story, do we sink into it? Why do we, rational human beings, hear the familiar rhythm of the story of the birth of the baby Jesus and go, ah, because it's us? So all those things that I could have told you at the beginning about why the books in the Bible were written the way they were, use that. But especially use the idea that angels are still active. They may not show up as a blinding presence with feathers and whatever else, but they're still active. The goodness of your heart is receptive. Who knows what is yet to be born in you? And unless we can become as these little children, unless we become like babies, then we're missing out on the sweetness and the fullness of this story of creation. of this story of spiritual alchemy. You notice that when we christen babies here, we never rid them of their original sin. Oh my gosh. They're the closest thing to the angels that we have amongst us. I'm pretty sure that besides crying when they're hungry or have a diaper change need or they're sleepy, that maybe the other reason they cry is because they miss being right there with the angels all the time. You know, why not? I'm going to choose to believe that. And then it's up to us as a community to make sure that all our little ones understand that they're never going to be far from those angels. Never. They are still innocent and pure. You are still innocent and pure. And if you don't believe that, beloved, take this home with you. And if you have to, get down on your knees and ask to be shown that you are still as a little child, that you are still ready to experience more and more and more of the Christ Spirit. The story's endured because it's real. It's just real in a different way than we might have thought of before. And just for fun, when something happens that makes you wonder what in the world is going on, try saying, "How can this be? How can this be? Instead of other words that start with other letters and we're just getting started. We're just getting started in this season of light. And we'll have so many ways to look at this Christmas story and all its characters. Kit and I have already worked out a lot of good details here. And we're going to walk into it together. Maybe sweeter and richer and deeper than we ever have before. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's pray. So if this morning touched something in you that released a few of your tears, it's okay. Just let them flow. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, the activity of God, moves through us and stimulates those tears, and that's okay. And if you have a hard little place around your heart because you were conditioned to have that, or because something has hurt you, will you allow the love and wisdom that already live within your heart to begin to chip away at that hard place, for it no longer serves you? Do you dare, beloved, to welcome messages from the angels, awakenings of the Christ Spirit, are you ready? Are you willing? Oh, you'll get busy. and you might get a little stressed. And that's okay too, just remember to breathe into your heart every now and then. And remind yourself why you're here, why you are here on this earth. Take a moment to not know, to not understand, to not try to figure out. So that Spirit might reveal to you what is to be revealed. And if you can say, let it be done unto me, and my soul glorifies the Great Spirit, then you are deeply immersed in the Christmas story that is eternal. Take a moment just to breathe. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to open your heart. For surely our Creator is amongst us all the time. Throughout the vast expanses of the universe, unimaginable to us, and yet right here in our hearts, there's a miracle. So all is well, beloved, all is well. Place your hand gently on your heart. And when the days become too hurried, when the traffic is too fierce, when you have that sweet melancholy that you can't identify, when you have that unbounded joy that you can hardly bear, put your hand there and remember. All is well. All is well. And so it is.